The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Man, that was some high quality baseball. 2-1, nail biter, well pitched, timely offense. Kind of felt like October. 37,000 in the stands as well. What a night for baseball as the Brewers take Game 2 and the series from the Guardians. They'll close out the longest homestand of the year tomorrow. They've already guaranteed a winning homestand, and now they have an opportunity to sweep a first-place team. They have an opportunity to go 7-3 on this 10-game homestand, and an opportunity to go 10-3 over their last 13 games, all of these games in a row. This stretch started last Tuesday in Atlanta when the Brewers swept the Braves. This is some high-quality baseball we're watching right now. We're watching a team understanding that they are the target in the Central, that they are going to win the Central, and they are a legitimate threat to a one or two seed here in the National League as we move into the postseason. The Brewers coming into today now with the Dodgers losing, the Dodgers fall to 72-52. The Phillies win. They are 73-50. So there's a few games in hand there, and it gets a little complicated. But by winning percentage, the Dodgers are the two seed, and the Brewers are a half game back in standings, but they're really a game and a half back because, remember, they cannot finish tied. We're going to be saying this for the rest of the season. The Brewers cannot finish tied with the Dodgers in record. They have to win outright in order for them to have the second seed, whether it's the Dodgers or the Phillies. And they control their own fate with the Phillies. They still have three more games head-to-head with them. And if the Brewers can find a way to sweep the Phillies, just like the Phillies did to them back in June, then the Brewers would actually claim the tiebreaker, not because of head-to-head, but because of divisional record. The Brewers have the best divisional record in baseball. So these are things that we will be monitoring the rest of the season. As for tonight's game, just enough offense. Gary Sanchez, he was a big topic of today's Brewers warm-up as we were talking about the thoughts of the lineup change and with everything like that. And with the Brewers being able to find a way to use a third catcher finally, use them for a reason, and the Brewers get the job done, to say the least. And then William Contreras, both of the catchers, get the job done today behind Freddy Peralta and his brilliance. 855-616-1620 is the phone number, 855-616-1620. If you want to join us here on WTMJ, I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With the local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. It's going to burn a break early here. Let's get to some of these texts. One on the other side of the break, and Jerry Augustine is going to join us in a moment right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Pleased to be joined now by Jerry Augustine, former Brewers pitcher here on WTMJ. The Brewers win 2-1. Augie, I mean, this is kind of how you draw it up. No, bullpen going 9 up, 9 down. Freddie going 6 strong, which is one run allowed. I don't know where to begin because both performances were equally impressive for me, but I think you do have to start with the ace here, Freddy Peralta. Maybe some folks will see 3 strikeouts and think, what went wrong? But in reality, in my opinion, it's a combination of the Guardians being aggressive and Freddie finally pitching to contact. He still got swings and misses today. He still racked up 10 whiffs today. But at the end of the day, this is the Freddie that we're okay with. If you're going to sacrifice some strikeouts for 6 innings, every single Brewers fan, executive, coach would take that from Freddie.
You know, he got a little bit away from fastball Freddie today. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing, if you look at his pitches today, I think you'd have to say secondary pitches played a very important role in the way he pitched the game. But I'm going to step aside, and I'm going to give a tremendous amount of credit to Gary Sanchez. Mm-hmm. Behind the plate, it looked like from the inning on out, I was sitting right down behind home plate. I had family in town from New York, and we wanted to come to the game, so I sat and watched. Just the way he handled handled Freddie from the beginning. He kept him on a good pace, and he made him throw that breaking ball, and he made him throw the changeup, and he made him throw the ball inside and out. He made that backdoor slider effective, and I thought he did an excellent job behind the plate calling a great ball game and getting Freddie maybe a little bit away from fastball Freddie like we think like he is. But really located those secondary pitches, and I thought that was the difference in the ballgame.
The massive piece was the curveball today.
That's right.
As opposed to the slider is what we've normally seen. And the last pitch he threw today, the curveball that he froze Josh Naylor on, who already took him deep earlier in the game, that was one of the best curveballs I've ever seen him throw. And in that situation, to throw what's arguably your fourth best pitch is kind of defying logic, right? As a pitcher yourself, you would think, like, well, I'm facing one of their best hitters. He's already taken me deep. But maybe you kind of outsmart him by going to that deep into the well. What was the game plan, do you think, of that final pitch?
I think it started like I said earlier in the game with Gary Sanchez behind the plate. Gary was going to make him go up against a very aggressive team, and he was going to change his pattern. If they looked at Freddie Peralta, they could say, be aware of fastball. He's going to locate his fastball. He's going to get ahead of you, and he's going to elevate the fastball through that 2-4 seam fastball up in his zone and try to get you out. But Freddie was different tonight. He went to the breaking ball. He showed fastball in good spots, and then he went to the breaking ball. And I thought as the game went on, I thought in the third inning, I believe it was, Dom, I thought he lost it a little bit. I thought he was kind of finding and searching for it. But I'm going to tell you what, Sanchez behind the plate, man, if you remember, he called the timeout. He walked out to the mound, and he stayed out there until when? That umpire walked out. That's how long that conversation was. But I think it was a positive conversation to say, hey, you got it. Stay with me. Be confident. But put the number down, you throw it. And I think Freddie found that confidence, and he was good thereafter.
And I think some folks, they saw Ramirez steal two bases in that sixth inning and think like, oh man, like, is this going to unravel? I personally didn't mind it because, look, J-Ram's got speed, and there's two outs in the inning. If Naylor hits a gapper, he's scoring. And then,
that's right.
Even when he's on second base, cool. If he gets a third, it doesn't change too much. I know some folks would say, oh, wild pitch, but Freddie had his hands full with Naylor there, who already, again, took him deep. And for Freddie to roll through today, and I thought a big at-bat there, too, like you're mentioning, to Lane Thomas, the 9-pitch battle with him, he ended up losing him after the home run. That was an inning earlier this season I think would unravel from Freddie. He was one strike away from ending the frame. Then he allows a 9-pitch single to Thomas and then gets Jimenez to pop out. So it's like, that's the inning that would become 2, 3, 4 runs and 35 pitches long for Freddie. He kept that under control tonight.
Yeah, he stayed in that game plan. That game plan that we talked about is getting a little bit away from being fastball Freddie and being able to show the fastball when he needed it. There's a couple times that Freddie reached back and he had a really good fastball, threw it to some really good locations. Sometimes he backed the guy off the plate. Sometimes he pitched the ball off the outside corner. But I tell you, what he made with that curveball, what he did with his off-speed pitches, I thought were phenomenal tonight. He showed them. I know there were a couple times, I think, I don't remember the hitter, but he showed changeup a couple times. Just to give this guy a different look. Now, you go change up with Freddie. Now you got that four-seam fastball with a little hop to it. Boy, that looks like 100. And that's what I thought Freddie did a really good job. A little bit away from his traditional fastball Freddie guy, but secondary pitches tonight definitely played a big role. And I have to give a lot of congratulations to Gary Sanchez of calming him down, staying in it, stay pitching, pace, and rhythm, and he did a great job.
And when you look at for Gary, I mean, he hasn't caught in 5 days because of the fact that, well, William Contreras just refuses to come out of the order. And we'll talk about the offense in the next segment, too, but for Freddie and Gary to be on the same page like you were talking about, I'm pulling it up right now, for you can track this stuff by catcher. Tonight was only the third time that Gary's caught him all year. William's kind of taking pride, and there's nothing wrong with William taking pride of being Freddie's
right.
guy as the opening
right.
day battery. But now we've seen three great starts with Gary behind the plate for Freddie. I'm not trying to start a controversy or anything. I'm just saying, like, give Gary some credit here that he's not just the slugger. The dude can catch, and he got the ultimate compliment today in the pregame session with Pat Murphy. The dude's a ball player, and it sounds so cliche. He's more than just a catcher. He's more than just a hitter. And I think what we've seen in these three starts with Freddie shows.
You know, he is. And I tell you what, you have to like the way he swings the bat and what he brings to the ball club. But, you know, it's impressive, and I don't know if you remember it, Dom. Early in the ball game, they had a guy steal second base.
Mm-hmm.
And where did he throw the ball from? His knees.
Mm.
I turned to my son. I looked. I said, did you just see that? A rock at the second base. And the next guy tried to steal, and he threw him out. So, behind the plate, I was – impressed by the way he got rid of the ball, the way he handled it, and how he threw the ball. And I think he's just adding another part to this ball club now with Christian gone for the rest of the year. He can play such an important part because of his leadership. He's been through it. He understands it. And I think he can play that role that you need from a veteran on this ball club.
He's been fantastic. And the bullpen, I mean, you start to let your mind wander now because Trevor McGill is going to make one more rehab outing. If everything goes well tomorrow, he should be back on this road trip. And all of a sudden, you have options in the back end of the bullpen. Today it was Piops in the seventh, Koenig striking out the side in the eighth. Then Devin in the ninth, didn't even touch Brian Hudson today, didn't even use Nick Mears today. You've got McGill on the way back. You've got a couple of studs in AAA right now with Craig Yoho and Jacob Mizorowski. It's like, you start to imagine here, like, literally everybody can be used and leveraged now in this bullpen.
Well, that just makes this team stronger. You know, you look at it, I think the big thing they question is the starting staff, but the starting staff, when they went up and they made the trades they did, they got exactly what they need. They got guys who can eat up innings, and that's what you need on a ball club like this, because if you eat up innings and you stay close, this bullpen's going to get you there. And I really like the way they went about it. You know, when you look at the way the guys threw the ball tonight, they were aggressive in the strike zone. You know, sometimes you go out there, or it looks like they just don't have that pinpoint control or just not with it. But tonight, I'll tell you what, they saw a 2-1 ball game. They knew how important they were, and they wanted to get it for Freddie. I'm going to tell you what, I thought they were dynamite, and they commanded the strike zone. And Devin is just lights out. He's just amazing what he does each and every night he goes out there.
Last 12 batters face, he set them down in order. 9 up, 9 down today for the Brewers bullpen as well. A couple of texts here. My goodness, what a clinic by the Brewers staff. They were flat out dealing tonight. This text from Tom in South Dakota. Best example, the O for the series so far. They've saddled on to Stephen Kwan. His strikeout in the eighth inning, and him at the top of the order is key to the Guardians' success. He's been absolutely MIA in these first two matchups. I agree from that text from Tom. Doug, Williams reminds me of the great Dennis Eckersley. Cool and cocky with that changeup. Another gem of a closer. And to the Dodgers, hard to say, but go Cards, because the Cardinals beat the Dodgers, so the Brewers gain a game trying to chase down the top seeds here in the division. And real quick, this texter asking what happened with Jose Ramirez in the ninth. He just barely tipped the baseball in front of the plate, and even though it's not painted in the box, there's the lines in front of the plate that if you field that ball in fair territory, it's a fair ball. Gary was all over it. It had some English on it. He fielded the ball in fair territory, tagged out Jose. He's out, 2-1 assisted. Great heads-up play there once again by Gary. Let's talk about the offense coming up next. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Don Catronio, Jerry Augustine with us. The Brewers win 2-1, just enough offense. Both teams only had 4 hits today. It was very impressive stuff from the crew. I mean, the checklist right now, a season high 19 games over 500. They're still 10 games ahead in the division. They gained a game on the Dodgers. They've won 4 in a row. They've won a series against the Guardians. They're 9-3 so far in this 13-inning row stretch. And they've done it with all sorts of offense, Augie. Tonight they only needed 2 runs, and it was from both of their catchers. We've seen them go nuts in Atlanta. We've seen them go quiet against the Dodgers, then get hot again. This is quite, like, tonight felt like playoff baseball. Well-pitched, tough bullpens, you know, hanging on a razor's edge all night long. And the Brewers are learning as the kids are going to be getting more and more playing time and relying on their pillars like William, like Gary, to get the job done. And it was those 2 veterans that got it done today for the crew, and it all started in the first inning.
You know, it's interesting, Dom, you talk about it felt like playoff baseball, and that's what it is. You get to this time of year, and you're going to get games that are a little bit closer today. Everybody's out to win a ball game, and everybody's trying to win a series. And with this ball club, we talk about it so much that it's somewhat different every night. Maybe it's one-sided baseball. Maybe it's the hitting goes out, and they swing the bat, and they score some runs. Then it's the pitching. Maybe it's the starting, and then it's the bullpen. There's so many parts of this ball club that you see that do so many good things. Then it comes in your defense. They probably have the best defense in all baseball. So you add all those things together, you never have to worry about each and every night something not coming through for you that's going to keep you in a ball game. I the other night they were talking about possibly going to a 4-game losing streak. They're the only team in the major leagues that hasn't had a 4-game losing streak, and they've got 3. So you see what they're doing. So when you look at this ball club for the rest of the year, their goal is to go out, win series. What do you do? Every series you play, you want to make sure you're better. And when you play inside the division, what do you want to do? You want to win inside the division because then you separate yourself from them. They're in a really good position right now. They're in a position that they understand, and they're just going out and playing sound baseball.
For Gary in the first inning, identifying a hanging slider and ripping it with two strikes, he's been tearing the cover off the ball as of late. He's been fantastic in the second half. It was his eighth run batted in since July 20th when he got activated off the IL. He's got more RBIs than strikeouts since coming off the IL, and another hit for him. We sung his praises behind the plate, but I just have a sneaky feeling, even getting the start today against a righty, I have a sneaky feeling we're going to start seeing a lot more Gary Sanchez in the near future.
Yeah, I agree. I think when Christian going down, I think you need that veteran in that lineup. And, boy, it was really neat the way, you know, the last few nights we saw the lineup going out where he had Terang, and then he had Cheerio, and then he had Mitchell. But tonight he changed it. Why did he change it? He wanted to get that veteran. He wanted to see what Gary would do in that third slot, and he came through with that big hit. And I agree with you. He got a ball. He recognized the breaking ball up in his zone. He is very good at hitting mistakes up in his zone. He's hit balls, if you make a mistake on the inner half, up in his zone, he'll drive the ball out of ballpark, but yet he's conscious enough to take a ball that's up and away, maybe a hanging breaking ball, and drive it the opposite way. And boy, when you see a guy like that who's a veteran, who's been around, who has had success, he can only help this ball club. And I agree with you. I think you're going to see a lot of him, and he's going to play a very important role.
William Contreras had the game-winning RBI today. He came all the way back in the fourth inning. Another home run for him. On the season, he's got 17. He's got 13 extra base hits here in the month of August. He's hitting .304 in August. He's one dotting it. He's got an 1159 OPS. All the while, he just can. It's really boom or bust right now, a little bit in a way.
Yeah.
Because he's got 17 hits and 17 strikeouts here in the month in 15 games. But shoot, when you got 13 extra base hits of 17 hits, you're feeling great at the plate.
You know, it's like he's, you know, he strikes out, and he strikes out some really good pitches, but it's like it's an educational part of his game. Mm-hmm. Tonight, early in the game, he struck out on a breaking ball away. The first thing he did, by the time he got outside that batter's box, he turned to the umpire and said, was it a strike? And you know what? He set him up for what? Oh, you make that pitch again, I'm going to hit the ball at a ballpark. They score a run, he comes up, what does he do? Gets a ball in the outer half, a little pitch on the outer half, up in his zone, goes and takes it, hits the ball at a ballpark. Just education-wise, just a good hitter that understands the game and understands that people are going to make good pitches to me and they're going to get me out, but I'm going to take it to school. I'm going to take that educational part about it. I'm going to learn from it, and next time up, I'm going to be ready for it.
The Brewers have a spoil of riches, having three catchers behind the plate that all can hit for power, that can hit lefties, that can be in there on any given day. They're still trying to figure out the second half of the order. Today they had three consecutive lefties, playing sort of a gamble that they would only bring in Heron if they had lost or didn't have the lead and that sort of thing. Very quietly, one of the most important things about these two games for the Brewers here against Cleveland is they've scored in the first inning. Cleveland's bullpen is just as good, if not better, than the Brewers' bullpen. We do not want to be behind facing them. Furthermore, knowing what's waiting in the ninth inning with them, with Emmanuel Clase, the fact that they've scored in the first inning both of these games to win this series should not be overlooked, because all of a sudden you've got Stephen Vogt's team on their heels trying to make it back up, and their offense has been on shaky ground as of late.
Well, they've been struggling on and off lately, and they had a big lead for, I think, it was six or seven games up at one time. Maybe they're up three or two games now, and you see the way they've been playing, and I think when you play a team like this that's aggressive, they're young, they've got an excellent pitching staff, they play decent defense, and their bullpen is as good as anybody's in baseball, you know what, if they get on that scoreboard early, that just makes them more aggressive. That makes them stay at the mound, stay at the plate, maybe be a little patient, and really attack you. And I think one thing that the Brewers has done to this ball club, they get on early, they take it away from them. They put them on their heels a little bit, and then they go and play. And I thought it was huge tonight when they hit the home, Naylor hit the home run. They came right back, and what does Contreras do? Gets that run that didn't go up 2-1. I thought that was huge. Puts them up and puts the Cleveland Indians, our Cleveland Guardians, I should say.
Put one in the jar.
A buck on my part. But the Guardians on their heels a little bit, because this Brewer pitching staff has really been throwing the ball well.
The Brewers are feeling good right now. 19 games above .500. Back with one more segment with Augie after this. Brewers get the win by a 2-1 final here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
on deck. More Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win. They win the series. Things are looking up here in the good land. Hi, everybody. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine is with us as well. I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. They're waiving their $99 trip fee for HVAC service calls. Visit Sider.com to schedule an appointment before it's too late. That's Sider, S-E-I-D-E-R.com. As we look ahead here, Augie, you get the finale with the Guardians tomorrow, and you've won the season series with them. Doesn't really matter, AL versus NL. But you get the Cardinals next week, and you'll get, likely, judging by the rotation right now, Frankie on Tuesday, Tobias on Wednesday, Savali on Thursday. Looks like you're going to avoid Sonny Gray since he's going to pitch tomorrow for the Cards. All you got to do is win one game, you win the season series, and really kind of put this to bed. You have an opportunity this week not to get ahead of ourselves ahead of tomorrow, but with Colin Ray going tomorrow and with suddenly a stable rotation here, you can start feeling like, okay, if you've got five or six more starts, let's go ahead and see what you got and start auditioning who would be starting the rotation come playoff time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think once you get it, you see what happens tomorrow, and then you go and you play St. Louis. I am always a firm believer that you have to play well inside your division. And winning one game in St. Louis would take the season series from them. But, you know, you don't want to give them anything. You want to go and you want to play hard. You want to continue to go out and play solid baseball. And I think that's the way this ball club thinks. There's no thinking about, say, we're just going to go play a game and see what happens. We're going to go play every game for 27 outs. We're going to give you 9 innings of good, sound baseball, and we want to grow from where we are. We want to get better where we are, and I think we're seeing that by everybody getting healthy. And I think, Dom, you would agree with me that now we got McGill coming back. How is that arrangement going to go to bullpen? How is that starting rotation going? How are you going to go about it? You have a guy like Tobias Myers. Does he figure in? How are you going to figure him in? Colin Ray has been just dynamite last time. Struggled a little bit by throwing the ball over the middle, played a little bit too much, and got hurt by the Dodgers. But, you know, it's about getting a set for postseason. You have a great opportunity, but you still have to go and play good, solid baseball. We got a long way to go, and we got to make sure that we stay on that positive note.
The other thing I want to keep an eye on here is when D.L. Hall makes his next start for AAA Nashville, as you know, he pitched so well against the Reds last weekend, then was optioned to make room for Hudson to return. It was more of a function of the roster, and the Brewers do have a doubleheader, not next weekend, but the following weekend against Cincinnati, so be keeping an eye on him. And again, the rich get richer with their pitching, and everybody getting healthy at the right time. You're only able to add one arm in September these days. It's not like the old Craig Timber days when you had all 40 guys on the 40-man, but all of a sudden, and Pat Murphy alluded to this, it'll be in the next segment here, that the reason why Freddie Peralta only went 6 innings today is because they know they're going to need more starts from him. And let's be honest, if the Brewers are planning on a long October run, you're going to get 3, maybe 4, maybe even 5 more starts from Freddie Peralta on top of the 6 or so more that he's going to throw more innings than he's ever thrown in his career.
That's right.
And the Brewers are being conscious of that right
and
now.
And I think that's a smart way to go about it. You would let him go out and have him success and let him go through each and every game where he has that success. Today was a little bit different start than he's had in the past. We talked about the off-speed stuff, the secondary pitches, getting a little bit away from fastball Freddie. But, you know, those games are important. Every game he goes out there is going to be important. And I think limiting to what he does. Some games he might only pitch 5 innings, some games 6. Depending on the pitch count, I think you go out there and you use him how you see fit, but he's the one guy that you really have to keep up along with Colin Ray. You have to keep these guys centered and really keep them in a good zone.
That was important for Freddie to get this. Just no other way to really put it. I mean, this was huge for him.
I just like the way he went about it. I tell you what, I was sitting on and watching his throwing his breaking ball and just going, wow. Freddie, a little bit away from the fastball. I love to see that. I love the way they work together with Gary Sanchez. But I like when he settled in and he had that little thing, like I told you earlier about that third inning. He looked like he lost a little bit. He's overthrown his breaking ball a little bit, that slider a little bit. Boy, all of a sudden Gary went out, came right back. He went right back to it, and he finished. He was solid. at that last inning he pitched, he was solid. He threw the ball very well.
It was fantastic. Jerry Augustine, appreciate you as always, and hope you enjoyed showing some Brewers baseball to your family in town. That you picked a good one for this one.
Well, they're in from New York, and they just had a great time. But, you know, we're getting to this type of season, Dom, where, you know, you're doing this show each and every night, and isn't it fun for you that now we're talking about all of a sudden Gary Sanchez, and tomorrow might be somebody else. The fun of this ball club is it keeps everybody sharp. It keeps everybody involved. It keeps us as trying to bring our fans a good show each and every night to say, hey, you know what? We're gonna go and we're going to look at someone new each night, see what they've done to us. It makes it a lot of fun here.
They've won back-to-back games despite losing Christian Yelich for the rest of the season.
And that's something.
Some teams would crumble under that.
Not the Brewers.
That's pretty impressive stuff. Jerry Augustine here on WTMJ. Appreciate you as always, my friends. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you soon.
All right, Augie here on WTMJ. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers get the win 2-1. The manager, Pat Murphy, spoke to the media earlier tonight. Highlights coming up in just a moment as well. Here's what the skipper had to say after another series victory.
It's going on 4 days and 4 days again here. So I feel like Fetty's been throwing a ball like that. He hasn't had the best of luck, and he's given up. He's made one or two bad pitches here and there, but I thought he was really, really good tonight. I don't want to take anything away from him, but I'm not shocked. I don't think anybody's shocked what we saw, and it isn't like Freddie struggled this year, and then all of a sudden that's it. I mean, Freddie's been taking the ball every time out, every fifth day for a team that's done okay. So I think he's thrown the ball good and gets scrutinized pretty much like he's, you know, supposed to be perfect, but I thought he was really good.
With him throwing the ball as well as he was, what was the conversation about potentially sending him back out there seventh?
He's coming off 4 days rest again. We're in a long haul here. There was no consideration of it, and he agreed with it himself. So
it
big emotional pitch in the last pitch. You know, like that's now if we give up runs there, you guys are like, what are you doing taking him out in that inning? But when you make that emotional pitch and you get out of that situation right there with a four-hole hitter who's a really good hitter who homered earlier, you know, it takes a lot out of you. And you know as a pitcher when that's it. And I don't know how many pitches he was at, but that was it. And our bullpen was really, really good.
Kind of a different path to success for him a little bit tonight. The velocity was down the tick. He didn't have as many strikeouts. Threw the curveball a lot more, too. Just
right.
What did you kind of see from him on those fronts?
Well, he's learning, man. He's learning how to pitch, and he's learning every day what's effective for him and when his fastball has that extra hop and when it doesn't. And he reached back a few times and got a little more, but he was throwing the ball where he wanted to for the most part. When he gets in troubles, when he walks people and things like that, he did the one walk when he got a little quick there in the stretch. But I thought it was a great performance.
Murph, obviously Williams, a tremendous hitter. What do you make of the power that he's shown recently and then just this month? I think that was his sixth homer in August.
Yeah, I mean, the kid's got the potential to be a fabulous complete hitter. He's got the potential to be one of the best hitters in the game, you know, and power is part of his game. It's in there, you know. So he didn't, you know, he hasn't changed anything or done anything like he works very hard, but he's staying disciplined to pitches he wants a little better. And when he gets pitches he wants, they're up out on the plate or something soft up, he can hurt you.
Because you like to say the homers are thrown, right?
They are.
Yeah.
So, stretch like this with the power, I mean, what does that presence mean for the rest of the lineup? What does that do for you guys?
That's good.
Murph, did this one have a playoff feel to it tonight? Low scoring game, great pitching, timely offense.
It was a good Major League Baseball game. Good Major League Baseball game. You know, that's what it was. And, you know, I didn't love a lot of what I saw. There's a lot to pick apart for these young players. And I think we constantly do that without being negative, just constantly pick apart some things that they can improve on or where they kind of didn't realize what could have been done differently, that type of thing. But Yeah, there was some great stuff too. The defense was very, very good, and I think Sanchez deserves some credit too. He doesn't get to catch a lot, and this was a big one. And his double in the first, and Contreras' homer was a huge part of our offense. But Bryce getting on base again, Bryce is having good at bats, and
What's it been like, just from your vantage point, watching Devin come back and be this automatic throughout this week after missing over the first half of the season?
Let you know how really good he is. I mean, he'll have his struggles too. Everybody does, right? This isn't a game of every time out. You know, it isn't that. We watched Ohtani come here and have bouts of struggle. For him, we've watched a lot of the great ones struggle. And I think Devin has come out of the box prepared. He's worked hard for this. I mean, I've been in there every day watching him contribute and be chomping at the bit to go, at the same time sticking to the protocol, working in the weight room, working at his catch play. It's been a long time coming. So I think Devin's primed and ready for his role, which is huge, and the ton of confidence in the room when Devin walks in, so it's it's great for our club. It's funny, he's gotten to face some of the best hitters in the game, like Bam Bam Bam, and it's really cool.
It's no big deal. That's what great closers do. They make it look easy when it's anything but it. A couple highlights, and we'll wrap up the program after this. Brewers win 2-1 on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Get up!
This.
Get up!
And this.
Get out of here!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Here on Harry Doyle bobblehead night against the Guardians, Brewers, and Cleveland getting ready to go. Freddie Peralta against Tanner Bibee. And the Brewers open the scoring at the bottom of the first. Leadoff walks always lead to rallies. And with one out, finally back in the order, it's the Kraken.
1-2 pitch. And Sanchez rips one out to left center field. Kwan on the run. It's over his head. It'll unhook the wall. Terang sprinting around third. He's in there. Gary Sanchez with an RBI double, and the Brewers take a 1-0 lead here in the first.
Lane Grindle's call here on WTMJ, but it's not just with the bat. How about the glove, too?
Runner goes on the first pitch. Throw to second. Sanchez got him. Gary Sanchez with a beauty of a throw. And Bo Naylor trying to catch the Brewers by surprise. It didn't work. Sanchez throws him out trying to steal second base.
Josh Maurer's call here back in the third inning. Now we fast forward to the fourth. Bo's brother Josh hit a solo homer with two outs and two strikes to tie the game at one. No matter, the Brewers have multiple catchers on their roster, and in the bottom of the fourth inning, it was Wild Bill's turn.
On the windup, 1-2 pitch. Drill to left field. This is trouble. Is it fair? It's towards the pole. It is there. It is gone. Another home run, William Contreras, and the Brewers are right back in front. That's his sixth home run already this month. 2-1 Milwaukee in the home fourth.
Number 17 on the year as well for William. Then Freddie took it from there. He was fantastic. Left a man stranded in the fifth thanks to a double play. In the sixth inning, he got out of a man on third jam with a strikeout of that same Josh Naylor. Then the Brewers' bullpen was nails from there. Three up and three down for Yoel Piamps. He continues his hot stretch in the second half. Then in the eighth inning, Jared Koenig. He got pinch hitter Jonkenski Noel to strike out swinging. He got pinch hitter David Fry to strike out swinging. Then it was the extremely contact-oriented Stephen Kwan.
1-2 pitch to Kwan.
Swing and a miss! He struck him out! Jared Koenig strikes out the side of the eighth! 1-2-3, the Guardians go! To the bottom of the eighth we go. It's a 2-1 Brewers lead.
All that was left was to hand the ball to Devin Williams, and he was once again facing the meat of the order. Will Brennan, he grounded out. Jose Ramirez, he grounded out at the plate on a broken bat nubber that Gary Sanchez fielded. And then once again, it was Josh Naylor.
And the count is even. Two balls and two strikes to count. The pitch. chopper towards third. Big hop for Ortiz. Picks it. Throws the first in time. And the Brewers have taken the first two games of this series against the Guardians. Devin Williams, another 1-2-3 ninth. And the Brewers hold on for a 2-1 victory here tonight in Milwaukee.
Another series win for the Brewers. Peralta earns the win. Williams the save. 9 up and 9 down from this vaunted bullpen. The Brewers improve to 71-52. The Guardians to 72-51. The Brewers get ready to go for a sweep tomorrow. Now, as it will be right-hander Colin Ray getting the ball against right-hander Ben Lively. Both of these guys kind of have similar approaches. Pitch to contact, multiple fastballs, nothing really going to blow you away, but both have been very important for their respective clubs. The Brewers also have an off day on Monday, so keep that in mind that maybe you might see some aggressive bullpen usage coming up tomorrow. You can use Devin in a back-to-back. Yes, it would be four of his last five, but you get the guaranteed off day tomorrow. And furthermore, you've got Brian Hudson available tomorrow. You've got Nick Mears probably available tomorrow. I imagine they would stay away from Elvis Baguero given how much he has been used as of late. And another piece of reinforcements are on the way, too. Trevor McGill will be making another rehab appearance tomorrow with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. And if things go well there, he would rejoin the team heading for this road trip to St. Louis in Oakland. But first, tomorrow, we're on the air at noon. I've got you covered for Brewers warm-up here on 620 WTMJ. The on-deck show will take over at 12:35. First pitch is scheduled for 1:10, and it should be a fun day at the ballpark as well. Robin Yount, Sunshine's going to be in the house as the kid will be celebrating the 50th anniversary of his incredible rookie season. Really excited to see Robin back in the yard and see all the fans give him the praise that he always, always deserves for the Hall of Famer, for the great Robin Yount. 19 will be back in the house tomorrow. Once again, 1:10 first pitch on the air at noon. And then once again, you can stick around with us. We've got you for Brewers extra innings after the game as well. My thanks to Jerry Augustine for joining us in person and to our producer, Nate Rilling. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers win. And until next time, keep on swinging.